I'm Kurt Hitchcock, and this is Footsteps. Marie Claire was born into a life of strife and war in the Congo. It offered survival, if she was lucky, and little hope for the future. Forced out of the country as a result of a tribal war, her family and her endured a four-year march across several countries, an experience she remembers little about. After 4 years of being on the run, her family settled into the Mahiba refugee camp in Zambia, which would be their home for 2 years. Her parents, fearing for their safety, decided to leave the camp and move to the town of Lusaka. Life was hard in Zambia, and Marie Claire's family was never safe, a reality that led to her mother to seek a way out of the heartbreak and misery they were experiencing. Before leaving Mahiba, she applied to the United Nations High Commissioner for their family to resettle in another country. Violence continued to follow their family, and on a fateful day, Marie Claire's mother was brutally murdered by a group of unknown assailants right in front of her.
And she was an absolutely wonderful mother, mm-hmm. someone that was always fighting for her kids, and everything she did was just for a future. She could see the present, mm-hmm. and she knew her past, and she never wanted it to be our situation. So she fought as hard as she could. Yeah. And the killers, or the people that actually came into the house, were more than 10, so they're enough to keep us away from anything. But seeing my mother being beaten and being stabbed, and I just couldn't do anything about it. Having that picture in my head, it's enough to keep me going and try to make the best out of life.
Broken and bewildered, Marie Claire and her brothers and sisters knew that they needed each other now more than ever to survive this tragedy. They also knew their mother would never want them to give up, which helped give them strength to face each difficult day that lay ahead. They found consolation in one another and vowed to keep their mother's dream alive for a better tomorrow. Little by little, life did improve for Marie Claire and her family. She started school. Far older than her classmates, she faced ridicule and embarrassment, being by far the largest child in the class. The experience proved to be emotionally difficult for her, yet at the same time, motivated her, and because she did well, gave her confidence that she could succeed academically.
It's always hard for me to explain my education because it's kind of funny sometimes, but sure. I actually started in the third grade.
Okay.
I was almost the only huge, I would say, big girl in class, and it was the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges I've ever had to face in mm-hmm. my life. But it came out to be a success. So I did start in grade 3, and my teachers would see how dedicated I was. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the, I actually stayed in the third grade for 2 years,
okay.
and I moved direct to the fifth grade. And when I went to the sixth grade, I wrote an examination that they write in Africa, usually in Zambia. They have like a whole country examination that would help you to move to the eighth grade without you having to go to the seventh grade. And surprisingly, I passed, so I didn't have to learn the seventh grade. I went direct to the eighth grade. Uh-huh. And when I was in the eighth grade, I had another examination for ninth grade that helped me go to 10th grade without me having to stay in the ninth grade.
Marie Claire's mom stressed the value of education to all of her children. As a way of honoring her, Marie Claire worked hard and did very well in her classes. She was accepted into an advanced school where she was sponsored by an unknown American whose identity she has sought but has never been able to discover. The school was highly competitive and had a culture that did not foster a spirit of helping to lift up fellow students. An environment that could have been crushing to a young adolescent woman, but was just another obstacle for Marie Claire to overcome.
When I got into the 10th grade, that's when I went to the school where the person started paying for me. Okay. And the school was pretty very advanced.
Okay.
And the kids would always laugh at you if you can't speak very well. So that even helped me more, because whenever I make a mistake in whatever I'm saying, if I put an arrow where there's supposed to be an L, right, they would laugh at me the whole day. Mm-hmm. So I would strive to know what is supposed to be what. So right, it only took me like months for me to catch up with their English and also be like them.
Marie Claire's family did not give up hope of immigrating to another country. And thanks to a very kind UN worker who took special interest in their family after her mother's death, the laborious process moved forward. After living in Zambia for over 10 years, Marie Claire and her family finally found themselves on an airplane, bound for New York, and their ultimate destination of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
That's the thing. When they told us we're coming to Pennsylvania, we couldn't even pronounce that word. Mm-hmm. Neither did we know where it is. Mm-hmm. The only place I ever knew was America and New York. Right. That's it. Mm-hmm. So when they said, you're coming, you're going to this place, nobody knew where it was. Uh-huh. But just knowing it's somewhere we could call a home, and nobody would look at us and call us all kind of names, and just having a home was enough for us to be happy, even though we were leaving the person that started the whole process and the person that pushed everything. That just made everybody sad, but it was still a great experience and a wonderful thing to know that we're coming to the United States.
All of the members of her welcoming team were excited to see this large family. None more than Jennifer, an effervescent bundle of positive energy who would soon become her American mom.
When I very first met them at the airport, I was waiting for them, and I had this excitement, you know, and just wanting them to feel safe and comfortable. They pulled up, and the majority of them were very reserved, shy. Some of them were sick and needed medical attention. It's a very long trek from Africa to the States. And they, you know, and then to fly to New York and have to travel down here. So they were exhausted and hungry. They didn't like American food, so they hardly ate. I remember being struck by how thin they were, just how terribly thin they all were. When they stepped foot on our soil and I picked them up at the airport, I had this in my mind that they would be broken people because of what they have been through, and I knew some of it. I just thought maybe broken spirits, broken hearts, and the opposite is true, the complete opposite. They arrived here with open hearts and optimism and enthusiasm, and I think that what has helped them, and this circles back to what we were talking about, in Zambia and in Africa and the Congo and that three-year journey walking through country to country to find safety, they had to survive by relying on one another as family. So they can survive anything.
From day one, Jennifer and her family were engaged with Marie Claire and her family to help them adjust to their new lives in Lancaster.
Well, Kurt, every single thing was new. Everything from our complicated currency and language was a big, big one, to as small as running water in our homes. Everything was new. How to grocery shop, finding work, and being able to just acclimate into our society, learning our public transportation, you know, learning how we interact with each other. Time is not as important to this family and to Africans in general. It's just their culture, as it is to Americans. You know, we run on time. Our lives are busy, busy, busy. But I remember the first time they came to my home, and they were just struck by the size of it. And it's nothing impressive, but it's just different. And I remember they said, "Mom, you have so much water." They were amazed by how much water we have, to, you know, a couple spigots here or there in the bathrooms in the kitchen. But we have to remember they had no water, and they would walk for 3 days with buckets to collect water, and once it was gone, it was gone.
There were other special people who came to know and help Marie Claire and her family. People like Julie and her husband Brian, who met Marie Claire the first week she attended their church, shortly after arriving in Lancaster.
She came to our church, and it was her first week there. And when we were asking for praises and so forth in church, she stood up, and I was just so impressed with her. I just felt that I wanted to get to know this person better and find out, about their circumstances, maybe if there was anything they needed and that type of thing. It was really our first refugee family in our church when she came, and since then we have about 7 families now.
Julie and Marie Claire developed a wonderful friendship, and after she graduated from high school with honors, Julie and her husband helped Marie Claire gain entrance to the denominational college she wanted to attend just outside of Washington, D.C.
But after high school, she wanted to attend our Seventh-day Adventist College. Mm-hmm. And that really connected us, because she kind of decided at the last minute. We only had a few days to get her registered and get the things she would need for her dorm room, because this is Washington Adventist College in Tacoma Park, Maryland, right near Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I drove her to the college, mm-hmm. and kind of got her set up and registered and, mm-hmm. Spent the day doing that. So that even was even more of a tie.
Sure.
Even though we had helped gather things for the family that they needed and that type of thing.
Jennifer, Marie Claire's new American mom, and her family have a real heart for refugees. They've embraced these families and consider them part of their own family. Sound unbelievable? Listen to Jennifer describe the festivities when Marie Claire and her family joined other refugees at Jennifer's home to celebrate Christmas, a few short months after arriving in Lancaster.
We were offering a holiday here. They arrived in October, so December would have been our first big gathering. And our Congolese family is always involved with everything. So they were here, and we had an international feast. So our extended family was able to meet our refugee family for the first time. And people who maybe were a little apprehensive or didn't understand had their eyes opened. And before long, the little munchkins of the family were crawling all over Grandpa and dancing together. We cooked together. I had some other refugees here that were mentoring. So we had, the Cubans making rice and beans at the stove. I remember opening the door, and our Marie Claire's family came, and they were so proud to bring this platter of food. Mm-hmm. So I peeled back the cover, mm-hmm. and it was fish heads. And I thought, oh, Lord, what is this? So I said, bring it in and put it on the table. People love them. People love them. They scarf them down. So it showed me that even with a language barrier and a cultural barrier, people communicate through food and laughter and dance and music. And one of the big gifts that they give back, because they're a family of little means, they give back their spirit.
Early in their relationship, Jennifer recognized that Marie Claire was an extraordinary person with special gifts, and she wanted to do everything possible to help Marie Claire achieve her potential. A shining example of this occurred during Marie Claire's freshman year in college. Jennifer heard from Church World Service that a very special and influential guest was scheduled to speak at an upcoming event that she was invited to. She was asked if any of the refugees in her large international family might be interested in speaking at the event, as they needed one more speaker. Jennifer immediately thought of Marie Claire and knew that whoever the influential guest was, it might offer her an opportunity to build a connection that could impact her future. She had no doubt that Marie Claire would do a great job and be a compelling speaker. It was only after they arrived at the event that Jennifer and Marie Claire found out the special speaker was Malala Yousafzai, the young Pakistani advocate for women's education and youngest winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. Marie Claire recalls that day.
That is funny because that's actually the first time I ever heard about Malala. Mm-hmm. And me seeing her there was just like any other person. Mm-hmm. It was just like my fellow friend. And I just saw everybody show so much respect and everybody stand. Right. And everyone is just so happy that she's there. And I just kept wondering who she was.
Right. So you didn't even know her.
Yeah, I was just, I didn't know anything at all. And of course, my mommy Jennifer was there to support me. Right. She's always there. And she called me. She was like, Marie, what's wrong? You don't know who you're standing next to? I'm like, Mom, who is she? And she was like, it's Malala. I'm like, who is Malala? So it was, and she did send me a lot of information about her. And I was like, wow. So this is actually the person I was talking to. Yes, so it was a pleasure, and it was a good way. It's a good story to remember.
Marie Claire and Malala shared a few private moments together before the end of the Church World Service event, and so began a strong bond of friendship and an ongoing relationship with the Malala Fund. Thanks to the Malala Fund, Marie Claire has had the opportunity to speak at international events, including addressing members of the United Nations. Jennifer recalls this experience with the pride of a mother talking about her own child.
She was invited to speak at the United Nations General Assembly, mm-hmm. and she addressed our world leaders. Mm-hmm. And I sat on the floor and I watched her with amazement that this young woman had no fear to address our world leaders. She was just a stone's throw from the President of France, and ambassador to Zimbabwe and the World Bank and you name it. And she sat next to Malala, and we spoke earlier in the interview about how she's learned to feel safe enough to be a little vulnerable. In her speech, it was only supposed to be a minute or two, it was longer because Marie Claire has a fascinating story and they allowed her to share. So she has learned the skill of public speaking and how to engage people. She opened with some vulnerability, and she shared briefly her experience in Africa and the loss of her mother and what that meant to her. And once she assessed the room and knew that people were engaged, you could have heard a pin drop. Then she went into, now that I have your attention, let's talk about the importance of safety for our children.
It's hard to believe how far Marie Claire has come in only 3 short years living in the United States. She is grateful and humbled by the kindness and generosity of the many people who have helped her in her journey, but particularly her American mom, Jennifer, and her family. Marie Claire carries with her the love, hope, and dreams of her mother every day as she embraces life's challenges and opportunities. Marie Claire's story will be in Malala's second book, which is due to be released sometime in 2019.